Modern electroacoustics began in 1915 when E.S. Pridham combined a telephone receiver and a phonograph horn into a loudspeaker capable of covering a large crowd at a Christmas Eve celebration in San Francisco. By Harding's inauguration, just after World War I, the Bell system was capable of providing sound reinforcement to the inaugural crowd. Converting telephone moving coil receivers into loudspeaker drivers attached to phonograph horns and so covering large audiences led to serious laboratory work directed at improving speech reinforcement sound systems. During World War I, two financial groups in the United States realized that the infant motion picture industry could become as influential in forming public opinion as the daily newspaper. The leaders of these two groups understood that they were not in the newspaper business or in the publishing business, but rather in the business of influencing communication. Therefore, motion pictures, radio, and later television were natural subjects for their attention. As their first battleground, they chose making the motion picture talk. One of the giant financial firms backed the Bell Telephone Laboratories and Western Electric. The second group backed what was to become RCA. In the beginning of the 1930s, the physicists and engineers hired by these firms developed and brought to commercial production many components, including the condenser microphone, the compression driver with a properly designed phasing plug, the multicellular horn and the radial or sectoral horn, the feedback amplifier, the cardioid microphone, sound on film, the folded horn for low frequencies, stereophonic sound, and the feedback disc cutter. Of equal, if not greater, importance, however, was the generation of the necessary system approaches to standards, techniques, and practices these engineers developed to train field engineers to support the millions of dollars of audio equipment being put into thousands of motion picture theaters. The standard cable mile was replaced by the transmission unit in 1923, followed by the decibel in 1929. In 1940, broadcasters and the telephone company launched the volume unit and the DBM, both powerful tools. Few toolmakers have thought out as carefully as these men did the long-term effects of what they were constructing. Indeed, the most lasting piece of technology from their period is the structure of the system that they erected.